You know, Psalm 118, I didn't even realize it was on the banners behind me. 118:1 is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And that's what we want to do tonight, okay? And just to share why you're thankful. And I know we could probably spend the whole evening here tonight just giving thanks to the Lord. And that's what we want to do. And I'm not going to go first, I'll wait. But who would like to break the ice to give thanks to the Lord? These guys, they're going to make me walk over.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll be right there, Tim. Don't go away. All right.
We want the professional first.
I'm really thankful, first and foremost, that the Lord would put up with me all these years and allow me to be here to see the arrival of my three great-grandchildren this year.
Awesome.
So I'm really grateful for that. That's number one. Number two, because I really know and understand what pastors go through. So I would like to say that I'm really grateful for our pastor, Pastor Joe, and his faithfulness. And he's a very good under-shepherd. And more than that, he's been a friend to me that sticks closer than a brother. And he's a downright cool dude. So praise God and thank him for that.
Check one, two, okay. When he calls me a cool dude, now cool is lukewarm, isn't it? It's not hot, it's not cold, it's lukewarm. No, just kidding. Anybody else over here? Come on, it's got to be one thing we can give thanks for. Judy, okay.
Yeah, oh, that's close. My name is Judy, if you don't already know. Anyway, I would like to be thankful for all of the people, the friends and friends that we have here in church, how loving everybody is, and how grateful I am that I have a place to come and feel safe and know that everything is okay, even if I feel that it isn't. So anyway, thank you for everything, guys. God bless you.
It's like Pastor Joel says, I mean, when I think about that question, I could stay in here and think about things to be thankful for until next Thanksgiving and then some, you know what I mean? Because I think it's Ephesians 5:20 says, giving the Lord thanks always for all things in the name of the Son to the Father. And I try to do that. So, I mean, I thank the Lord for so many things, but the number one thing, I mean, is that I'm not going to hell where I deserve to go. So I thank the Lord.
I remember the first time, probably 3 years ago, Pastor Joe was doing the same thing on a Sunday morning service, and he was passing the mic and asking people, what are they thankful for? And I said exactly what Spider said. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell, you know. And I'm still thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God, for God's long suffering. I'm thankful for God's patience that he puts up with us. I think of Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira, how God just killed them right away. And I see that passage. I'm like, wow, Lord, that should be me, you know. And he's had so much grace and mercy upon me. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm so thankful that God loves me regardless of what I think, what I do, the stuff I say. And I just love the Lord so much for that. I'm really grateful for that. One thing I do want to say is, lately I've been tested with so many things. This stuff that I want to do, but I know God is telling me not to do it. And, you know, I was reading through Jeremiah chapter 42, there's a passage that says, whether it's pleasing or displeasing to the Lord, we will obey the voice of the Lord. And it's funny because those people who said that said that at first, and then Jeremiah told them what the Lord wanted, and then they ended up not wanting to do that. I'm just so thankful for that even though Jesus Christ in his humanity didn't want to go to the cross, he said, nevertheless, Lord, Father, your will be done. And I pray that no matter what, let God's will be done in our life, you know.
Okay, Jose's done. Good night, everybody. You never know that guy wants to be a preacher, would you?
I want to thank the Lord for my Lord Jesus Christ and my Savior and for everything he's done in my life. Thank the Lord for everybody here in church and for having a place to go to and to worship the Lord.
I just want to thank the Lord for his agape love, because he loves each and every one of us for what we do or what we don't do. And I thank him for this body who shows that agape love, and for our pastor that leads us in showing that love. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Jesus.
Hi, I'm thankful for the body of Christ here. And as Linda says, that the body here is just filled with love and compassion for one another and holds each other up in prayer. I'm thankful for my beloved wife and the health that God has given her this year. I'm thankful, as I said, yesterday morning for my children who are both saved, both married, both serving the Lord in different capacities. And I'm thankful for the forgiveness of sin by the blood of our Lord and Savior.
I just want to thank the Lord for what he's done for me over the past few years. My Irish temper, he's kind of cooled that down a bit and really kept me humble. That's the main thing. I want to praise him for that. And all you guys, you're just wonderful. And Pastor Joe and everyone that throughout this community, I just love all you guys. Thank you very much.
Well, I just want to thank him for being the God that he is. He brings us to salvation. And in my case, he put me with a wife that prayed for me for a long time. And he answered that prayer for her. And I want to thank him for the saints that he's hooked me up with and put me in the presence of in this church and in other places in my life. And it's amazing. I was just listening about how amazing he is. He created this little hummingbird that weighs the weight of a dime, and nobody can move him like he does. So it's just, he's just amazing God. And I give him praise every day. And thank him.
You guys awake? I'm not even teaching, you're sleeping already.
Well, I want to thank God for a godly wife. Because of Susan, we have two wonderful godly children, and now we have godly grandchildren. And it's just, there's so many good things come from that, from having a home where the family loves the Lord.
I'm very thankful for my new grandson. I was holding him tonight, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, God, you are just so awesome. I love you guys so much. I love this church. Thank you for the love that you show my wife and I and our family. And thank you for my wife, Linda, putting up with me, a knucklehead. And last but not least, I'm glad I'm not a poodle. Inside joke.
That's a private joke. Yeah. What do you think, Roy?
I just thank God for everything, for this great church family, and for my health, for my beautiful wife, for our great pastor, Joel, that just makes the word come alive. He's just one of the greatest. Thank God for, from the bottom of my heart, for just my very being, for my health and everything. Thank you.
From the bottom of his heart with his new pacemaker. He's in good health. Praise God. I told him that's scriptural. Blessed are the pacemakers. Yeah.
Do you want to share? Well, I was looking at all of you this evening, and you have to know how much I love you. I know most of you in this room, and we've been here such a short period of time, and you've been gracious to share yourselves with us. We have the privilege of doing the Fellowship Cafe with another, you know, many, many people that come alongside. But it's a part of me that's so thankful because we're not isolated. We are the body that prays together and shares. And thanks to this guy who is pretty terrific.
Yes? What do you think? Yeah? Okay.
The rib first.
The rib first.
Hi. There's so many things I want to be, you know, thankful for. A verse in a song said, broken lives made new, broken families made whole. And I'm thankful for the trials the Lord has put me through to get where I'm at now. And it's made me such a better person. The Lord's mercy endureth forever, and it lasted enough to see me through and make me who I am. I'm most thankful for this man who sits here in church, that I get to wake up and go to sleep looking at my best friend and my brother in Christ. And I'm thankful that my family walks with the Lord, and I'm thankful for all of you.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. I don't know how I'm going to top that, but I will do my best. I have a lot to be thankful for as well. Not only is she my best friend, like she said, you know, my wife. And the Lord, first of all, I just want to thank him for my salvation. Like the other brother said, I have lists and lists of things I could be thankful for, but I'll make it quick. Just want to thank him for my salvation, my wife, my children. I want to thank him for saving her from cancer. I would like to thank him for saving me from life in prison. I only spent, you know, a handful of years in there instead of life that they told me I would get. I want to thank him for his grace that he poured out on me in abundance when I was told I couldn't get a job because I'm a felon. He turned around and glorified himself because everything that I did do, I tried to do for him. And he made a way for me when doors were shut. He opened the doors that didn't exist. And I just want to thank him for that, and I want to thank him for all you brothers and sisters as well. I love you all, and God bless.
I am especially thankful for this church family, for the welcome that I've had. I've been here for about a year now, and I'm very, very thankful for the men's group here that is so active and so vital and so alive, and it's unique among all the places that I've been and has made me feel a real part of it, and the friends that I've made there are just very, very special. I'm also very thankful for my son, and I'm thankful for my daughter, who is very soon going to be able to get a kidney transplant, and hopefully I'm going to be a paired donor with her. So God has blessed me and my family just immensely this year, so thank you.
I'm going to sit down. I just want to say thank you. This is my home church. And I thank you, Lord, that you're my Savior, my God. And I just worship you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that I was able to lead my dad to the Lord before he died. And I know that I'll see him in heaven. That's it.
In heaven with Kevin. All right.
Thank you. I just want to thank Jesus for dying on the cross so that we may live. And I just want to, like everybody's been saying, thank God for this group of believers and for friends that help you when you're in need, and people that you can come up to and say, Jesus told me that you have to cook dinner for me, and they do. You can't use that line too often, but I did use that once. And I just want to thank God for this church that we can study the Word, that I have the privilege of teaching the Word to the children and to the adults, and that this is a church that follows the Word and lives it out. Thank you.
I want to thank, Can I get like 2 hours? I want to thank the Lord for this sweet fellowship. And the Lord has really ministered to myself and my wife and our family, our kids. And, you know, it's just been an awesome experience to be here, be part of your family. And I just want to thank the Lord for your love, for your support, for your prayers. You know, you guys have just really made a difference in our lives. And I'm very thankful for that. And also, you know, just lately we've gone through a lot of purification in our lives. And, you know, I never thought that I could be thankful from the bottom of my heart to the Lord for those times of purification. But I am really thankful that the Lord would just be my hiding place. And be the one that it's defining and refining my life. And it's just been really awesome.
I guess it's my turn. I'm thankful for a lot. And like everybody here, our fellowship of believers here is just so awesome. And everybody is so full of love, and for that I'm truly thankful to be under a pastor that's, you know, teaching the truth here. And I mean, from my family, my beautiful wife, my kids. But I look in the long term of things, and I look back at how my life was before I had the Lord. And I'm just so thankful for, you know, just like the handful of like dirt that my life was before, and how He has just replaced that with so much that I honestly don't deserve. And, you know, like Jose was saying, like, I truly deserve hell, and the Lord has blessed me with eternal life. So for that, I am truly, truly thankful. And I'm thankful to the Lord.
Good evening. Hearing everybody here saying obviously the same thing, that you're all thankful for one another and the body. And I can honestly and truly say that it is definitely an epitome and a show of love, that first and foremost, the Lord loves us so much that we're able to share love with one another in spite of whatever difference is in age, nationality, or anything. We love one another, truly. And it's evident, and I see it, and I'm so thankful for the body. And I'm thankful for Pastor Joe. I really am, for his obedience to the Lord, because he truly is a blessing to each and every single one of us. And I don't say that to glorify him above the Lord or the Word, but he truly stands for what's right. And right now, just everything that's going on, even locally in churches, is just heart-wrenching and so sad to see what is going on. And my prayer for him is, Lord, keep him and his family, and let's just continue on, even when it's extremely hard to see some people hit and that get knocked down. But I just pray for the Lord to lift him back up in him and restore people unto himself, not unto man, unto him. So I am thankful for my husband, and for his obedience in serving the Lord and what gift the Lord has given him, just to be able to be his mate. Because if anybody knows me, I cannot sing at all, at all. And my husband is terrifically gifted in every aspect, and he'll say he's not, but he really is. So don't ever ask me to get up there, because it will be pretty painful to your ears, but God bless you all. I love you all, and I'm just excited to still be here where the Lord would have us, just serving. God bless you.
Amen. Well, I am so thankful that the Lord saved my soul, because I was so lost, so totally lost. And he is just so awesome. His loving kindnesses and his mercy, the longer that I'm with the Lord, the more that I see how it's all him. All the blessings, the answered prayers, it's all the work that he does, and, you know, saving people's souls and seeing him work in the lives of people around us and having the privilege to pray for people and seeing him do it. The longer I walk with him, the more I realize how little I really know. The more I know of his word, the more I see his hand move, the more in awe I am of who he is as God. I'm so thankful for his sovereignty and that he loves me enough to care about what I do in my life, that he leads and he guides me and directs me, convicts my heart, and he uses his word to show me how wrong I am and to light the way before me and say, no, not that way, this way, and just to pour out his grace that I would continue to follow him and not do my will, like Jose was talking about. That's just been my walk with the Lord, that, you know, this is what I want, but he's so good to show me that it's not of him or what he has for me. And he gives me the grace to wait upon him and to follow him. And I'm so thankful that he brought me to this fellowship, because I came from a body that was in a really bad way. And a man of God who walked away from the Lord. And Pastor Joe is such a true example of what the Lord wants for a man who will, like Pastor Roman said, an under-shepherd, a true under-shepherd who serves as in servant leadership. You hear that phrase, but he lives it out in front of us. And this body, and believers who love so genuinely. I've been walking with the Lord for, I don't know, 18 years, I think, and I've never been in a fellowship like this that is so healthy and so thriving. There's no idolatry here. Nobody is above anybody else. And Pastor Joe always makes a point to point out how Jesus, they had to point him out because he looked like everybody else, his humility, and he was God in the flesh. And Pastor Joe lives that out amongst us, that I'm so thankful for you and just for this place that we have to come to fellowship. And like everyone says, the love that's here is just beyond amazing, because everyone's sincere and true and just loves the Lord and is just here. And you guys are so awesome. I love all of you. It's just such a blessing to walk in these doors and everybody's smiling and hugging and just spreading the love of the Lord. And it's not phony. It's so real. So thank you guys for who you are in the Lord. And thank you, Pastor Joe, for being such a blessing and just walking it out in front of us and lifting up his word. Praise God. God bless you.
Now, we all work together now. She's going to have to tell the truth.
I am so thankful for this fellowship and for being able to work with Pastor Joe all week long, but for his family and the support they've given me through some pretty hard times. But more than all of that, I'm thankful for everybody here that jumps in when they know my world's spinning out of control and they just jump in and they help. Thank you, guys. But I'm also more thankful for forgiveness, my salvation, and I'm thankful for my family and my friends, and I'm thankful that God allows us to see his hand at work every day. All you have to do is open your eyes and open your heart, and you can see God working among us. You can see God doing so many things. And Joe said, it's so cool that I get to call these people. I'm so grateful for our Thanksgiving thing. I'm so grateful for the generosity of this church. And I too am grateful for our pastor.
Okay, awesome. Did I miss you?
No.
No, okay. Changed your mind? Okay.
Well, God is right. Wrestling with me, so okay. I might as well.
Hello, everyone. My name is Elizabeth, and this is my first time in your church. And the reason I'm here is because I'm an example of God's love. I have departed from God for about a year, and this is my first time coming back after the year. And I'm just thankful that God is a God of many chances, that he does love you. And even if you stray and you still hear his little voice, his voice becomes louder, the trials become harder, and that you have no choice but to come back. And I'm just thankful that he loved me enough that I'm here. And thank you for allowing me to be here. And I look forward to my future, my salvation that's been restored, and I'm just really excited. So thank you all. Thank you, God.
Anybody else? Part two? Okay. P.S.?
No, I'm not going to give thanks for the Yankees. You know, I just wanted to touch on what you read. I know when we sit here and we look at the news, we look at what's going on around us in this world, it seems so, it is horrible, it is tragic, but I thank God that I live in the country that I live in, and I thank God that we are not in the situations that many of our brothers and sisters around this world are in, and that we have the opportunity to still hold this Bible in our hand and pray for them and still read his word. And I thank God for the service men and women that provide that blanket that we sleep under every single night, protected by the Lord. And I just wanted to recognize them in this moment. Thank you.
Okay, that's it. Good night, everybody. I'm so grateful for Thanksgiving because God chose out of the 365 days in the year to save me on Thanksgiving Day, and it was 33 years ago. And I've been thankful every single day. God pulled me up out of the gutter. A lot of you have heard some of the details, not all of them. But he is so incredible. He restored my marriage. And Tina and I jokingly say, even though we've both been married once to one another, we all often jokingly say that I'm her second husband. And she is my second wife because we are new creations in Christ. We're not what we used to be. She was, you may not believe this, but Tina was a little sinner too. I made her look good. Don't give her too much credit. I'd ask her sometime about her little testimony. But our marriage was so bad that it drove her to church, and she got saved and prayed for me, and 2 years later, I got saved. There is no medical cure for alcoholism or drug abuse and the list of things that I was into, but with God, all things are possible, and Jesus Christ set me free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I look around this room, and even on Sunday mornings, I'm amazed. I can honestly say this evening that I would not know one of you if Jesus Christ didn't die on that cross for me. And he's allowed me the privilege to do what I do. And it's embarrassing to hear you guys say all these wonderful things about me because honestly, and this is not false humility, I am not worthy of any of those compliments. But I learned a wonderful lesson from a lady by the name of Corrie ten Boom. And she had a hard time receiving compliments. She says, you know, when somebody gives me a compliment, I consider it a flower. And then when I get a bouquet, I give it to the Lord. And so the flowers that have been gathered here in his name tonight, I give him this bouquet again because he alone is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. I love you all. I thank God for you. And you know, it is so wonderful as a pastor to say that I am very, very privileged to be able to love and teach and minister to this body of people. You know, I talk to pastors week in, week out that are ready to throw in the towel. And I just so love what I do here. And I love each and every one of you. The hard part is not being able to spend a whole lot of time with you all, you know, but we'll get to do that in eternity one day. But in the meantime, we've got work to do. Roll up our sleeves, lead people to Christ, love them to Christ. And what a glorious day it will be when we all cross the finish line and look into his loving face as he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my presence." So again, thank you all for sharing. You know, and it's so wonderful, isn't it, to be able to gather together. And because we have a smaller group here tonight, we can share for as long as we choose to about what we have to be thankful for. And you know, the Apostle Paul says in, I believe it's 2 Timothy, 1 or 2 Timothy, that in the last days, people will be unthankful. And look around, there are a lot of unthankful people. And we have a room here tonight filled with thankful people. We are truly thankful. And we know what it is to be able to say, "Thank you, Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And so tonight we're going to look into one of David's Psalms. I'm not going to take too long, just a few minutes, to go through Psalm 118. But you know me with my crazy mind. If you've been here any length of time, you know that I've got a couple of screws loose. But I'm thinking this week, what is it that we hear all week long, like even months before it gets here, we hear all about Black Friday, don't we? Black Friday. I am so thankful for Black Friday. Now I see you looking at me going, "He does have a couple of screws loose." I taught on Black Friday 2 weeks ago. The Black Friday that we benefit from is the Friday when there was darkness over all the earth, from noontime till 3 p.m. Because our King and our Lord died for us. And when he died and he said, "It is finished," darkness came upon the earth that Friday for 3 hours. And for 3 hours, for the first time ever in the history of mankind, God the Son was separated from God the Father for you and for me. That is the real Black Friday. Now, this is what blows me away. And again, you know my mind. I wake up 3 a.m. just think these quirky little things. People start camping out the Monday before Black Friday. Tents, they got their families, they got their stoves, they got their kids for things that perish. And I wonder, why aren't they camping outside the doors of the church with their stoves and with their sleeping bags and all to gain eternity and to gain possessions that last forever? Doesn't that blow you away? Because of covetousness and greed in the stores and in the people, they miss out on the true Black Friday, when Jesus Christ paid and paved the way to heaven for you and for me. When we get to heaven, we're going to see streets paved with gold. People would die for gold here on this planet, just for a little piece of gold. When we get to heaven, gold is going to be like asphalt. And there's going to be all sorts of stones, as the book of Revelations describes, and jasper and all of these things. It's going to be absolutely, it's going to be so incredible. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to have a heavenly body to even be able to handle what we're going to see. And how sad it is that all these people, even at this very moment, are camped outside some store somewhere for something that just doesn't last. But yet we have the words of eternal life. We have the hope and the promise of heaven because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And that's why we're so thankful. What I would encourage you to do tomorrow, which is traditionally Thanksgiving, is to share with those that maybe don't know Christ how thankful you are for them and how you thank God for them and bless them and serve them. and show them what the love of Christ is truly all about. When the opportunity comes, share the Word of God, but most of all, live it out, because love never fails. And we have a wonderful opportunity to show them how thankful we are. And even as I shared Sunday, take a time, if you're the one that's going to pray over the dinner, and just give a blessing to every person there, how much you love them and appreciate them and are thankful for them. So let's look tonight at Psalm 118. It's not a real long chapter, but it's a psalm of thanksgiving from a man that was truly forgiven, a man by the name of David. If we could take a survey in this room here tonight, and I said, okay, what is the thing? First thing that pops into your mind when you think of David, that's oftentimes the blemish in his life. His adulterous affair, how he even murdered Bathsheba's husband Uriah, his most faithful soldier, tried to sweep it under the carpet. But God loved David so much that he sent David's best friend Nathan to him to tell him a little parable, a little story, to kind of expose what went on, and God forgave David, a man after God's own heart. David was a man of worship, and when we read through the Psalms, most of them are from David. I don't believe a lot of them went to music. Oftentimes we think of Psalms as get out the guitar, the stringed instruments, or the harp, whatever it might be, and let's sing these Psalms, and I believe a lot of them he did sing, but worship oftentimes in the life of David was more than music. Worship is an attitude of the heart. Worship is that one thing in your life that means everything. That which is worth, W-O-R-T-H, ship. That which is the most worthy possession that you have in your life. That's what worship truly is. And if it leads to singing, praise the Lord. But when we look at the words that David pens on these pages, it's just absolutely incredible, the depth of his love for God. And that's why Scripture tells us, he who has been forgiven much loves much. David was forgiven much, and David was a man after God's own heart, and David loved and adored God. We can tell by the words that he pens here tonight. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is always good, isn't he? God can never be otherwise. And how sad it is that oftentimes the things that we see in this world, going on in the world today, the bad things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God gets blamed for. God is always good. And just step back sometime when you see something bad and evil going on in the world, and when you're tempted to blame God for it, you just step back and say, was that God that's responsible for that, or is that mankind with his own free will and his fallen, sinful nature? And when you look at everything in that perspective, then you can truly say, the Lord is good. He is always good. He can never be otherwise. He is good, and he is God. Folks, we serve a good God. He is always good. And even as was shared in some of the testimonies, even some of the hard things we go through, some of the difficult, heart-wrenching, heart-breaking things still work together for good for those who love God, because God is good. He's not angry at us. He loves us. His love can never get any greater or any less. His love is consistent. He's not like us. My love can be a roller coaster ride sometimes. Catch me on a bad day, man, you wonder if I'm even saved. But you know, God's love is consistent. His love, God is love. That's the one word that typifies and describes God. God is love. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures. How long? How long is forever? We can't even describe what forever is. The Hebrew word is, there's one word, a Hebrew word that talks about to the horizon, as far as you can see. But there's another Hebrew word that's beyond the horizon, and that's what this word forever is. It's beyond the horizon. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. His mercy endures forever. See, grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And so he gives us an abundance of mercy and grace as well. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. We can say that as well. Even 1,000 years after David penned this psalm, we can truly say, can't we? His mercy endures forever and ever and ever beyond the horizon. Notice, again, David gives thanksgiving to God because even through times of distress, he can count on the Lord being there. He says, look, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me on a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So we see a couple more points why we can give thanks to the Lord. You see, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, yes, all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, but it's not the end of our trials and tests and tribulations and troubles. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But cheer up, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And David could honestly say that I can call on the Lord during times of distress, and the Lord will answer me. And he sets our feet on a broad place. He gives us stability in times of distress and in times of trouble. And we should be thankful for that, because we're going to have distress and trouble and all those things one way or another. But I'll tell you what, I would much rather go through it with the Lord. Because even when the heat is turned up, his hand is on the thermostat. And it's so wonderful that we can call upon the Lord in our distress. We don't get call waiting. We don't get a busy signal. You know, we don't get the thing. I got this little thing on my phone when somebody calls and I can't pick it up. I'm driving. You know, it pops up. I'm driving. We don't get that from God. I'm driving. I'm busy. Call you later. I'm in a meeting. Hi, this is God. I can't answer your call right now. No, God is always there. Always, always there in times of distress. Isn't that comforting? That we can, you know, we have things that we're going to face here in the future one day. Should the Lord, you know, not sound the trumpet, we're going to go through difficult times. But you see, it's good to know that he's going to go with us every step of the way. He's going to walk with us. Like the old hymn says, he walked with me and he talked with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, you know, that's what we have, our hope in him. I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. Isn't that good news? He is on our side. Man, I remember in my youth, I was always on the losing team. Maybe some of you guys got trophies and stuff at home, you know. I never was on a winning team ever. Got whooped. I was always on the losing side, always. Now I'm on the winning side. The Lord is on my side. We win. God wins. That settles it. You know? And that sure lifts a big burden, doesn't it, from our hearts. The enemy tries to tell us, oh, you're losers. I go, yes, I am. Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll gain it. So I'm the world's biggest loser. Notice, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And it's so true, isn't it? We get ripped off when we worry. Oh, man, about this man, that man, about this terrorist, that terrorist. You know, whatever's going on in the world, God is going to have victory over it all. He's going to have the last word. And so we don't have to fear man. I often say, bring it on. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So they take me out, so I go to heaven. That's the best thing that can ever happen to me. I don't have to fear. What can man do to me? And it's so wonderful. Because we live by faith, we don't have to live in fear. Because faith and fear can't cohabitate. You either have faith in your heart or fear. And if you have faith, it pushes that fear out, because we have the Word of God, which gives us faith, because faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And again, notice what he says. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Isn't it great? Scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. No one. No thing. No way. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me, meaning God's going to settle it. He tells us to be peacemakers. He tells us to forgive 70 times 7. He tells us even to love our enemies. God's going to have the last word. He's going to have the last say. He's the one that gets vengeance. It is better to trust in the Lord, verse 8, than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You can substitute the word politicians there if you choose to do so. Those who rule. You know what? Again, as The book of Romans tells us God appoints men and women to office. Sometimes he'll allow that to happen to chasten a nation, if you would. God is in control. But it's better to put our trust in the Lord than put our confidence in man or in princes or in anyone, even in pastors. Don't put your faith and trust in the pastor. Put your faith and trust in the Lord, and you'll never stumble. All nations surrounded me. And David knew all about that. He was a warrior. He was a mighty man of valor. All nations surrounded me, but the name of the Lord, I will in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Isn't that amazing? There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in that name. Why? Because at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord above the earth and below the earth. At the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And again, God is victorious. God is our defender. Can you look back in your life at a time maybe that you'd not see the next day? I can honestly say that I've had days like that in my life where I thought, I will never, ever see tomorrow, surrounded. But here I stand today, and many of you are thinking, man, you know what? I wasn't supposed to get through this surgery. I wasn't supposed to, you know, get through this accident. I wasn't supposed to, you fill in the blanks, return from Afghanistan or Vietnam or Korea, whatever it might be. And here we are, because at the name of the Lord, he is going to take care of us. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. So there in verses 13 and 14, we have three more points why David was thankful to the Lord. Number one, the Lord is his help. The Lord helped him. And oftentimes we can feel as though we don't need any help, but you know what? We have to rely on the Lord for everything. Our very breath. That very breath that you took just now is a gift from the Lord. That last beat of your heart is a gift from the Lord. And oftentimes we forget that. He is our help. He's our strength. He's our fortress. And that's what the next verse says. The Lord is my strength and my song. And he is our strength. Why? Because Scripture tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is God. I tell you what, you can work out of the gym every day, but you're still going to get old. And those muscles are still going to turn to flab, I guarantee you. Living proof right here. What goes up must come down. You know, it's amazing how the older you get, the harder gravity pulls on you. Man, it just pulls everything down. But the Lord is my strength. And you know what? And those of us that are senior citizens can testify that, you know what? Getting older is a good thing because you get weaker and you rely more on the Lord. You see, these younger people, they don't really think they need the Lord today because they're strong and they're buff and they go to the Gold's Gym and the whole thing. And, you know, they eat wheat germ and all that stuff. They buy the big thing at the store, you know. But there's advantages with growing older. You rely on the Lord for everything, for your strength. And that's what David says. David was a great warrior, but here when David was writing a lot of these psalms, he was in his later years. Also, he says, he has become my salvation. What was the number one thing that was given thanks for here tonight? Our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins. That's probably the number one subject tonight that came up when we were asked what we are thankful for in the Lord. And so was David. David was thankful for his salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And again, he's giving thanks to the Lord. The right hand in Scripture speaks of strength. And the Lord's right hand, he says, does valiantly and exalts. He said, I shall not die but live. That's another good reason to give thanks to the Lord, would you say? Scripture very clearly says, though we die, we're going to live. I was reading yesterday, I believe, the scripture verse that says, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, when I first read that as a brand new Christian, I thought, well, that's kind of scary. Blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints? Absolutely. Why? Because we're pulled out of this world of danger and he's taken us home to heaven forever and we are now safe in the everlasting arms of the Lord. I shared with a guy today. He heard about what I went through earlier in the year with my surgery and the mass and the whole thing. And he's looking at me, well, man, wow, weren't you scared? And I go, no. You know what I said to him? I said, heaven is a reward. It's not punishment. Why do people get the impression that heaven's punishment? It's a reward. Heaven is a reward. Do you know that? Yeah, that's the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. And David knew that. I shall not die but live. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord like I did today. The Lord had chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And again, David's giving thanks for chastisement. Don't we? Aren't you thankful that the Lord spanks us? That he disciplines us? We need it. As a matter of fact, please, Lord, don't increase my discipline, but there's times I should really get whacked when he just kind of, it's his love that just blows me. Sometimes, man, when he doesn't spank me and he just loves me and loves me and loves me, it's almost as though a spanking wouldn't hurt as much. Does that make sense? It's like, Lord, why do you put up with me? Why do you tolerate me? Why do you, here I go again doing the same crazy things. And he says, I love you. I love you. And he does. Notice. He says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. That's another reason to give thanks. We are going to pass through those gates. We will never have to say goodbye again. There are no moving vans. There's no Hertz or U-Haul in heaven. We will never have to say goodbye again. We will never have to move again. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as David said. Isn't that great? Can't you? Isn't it going to be awesome to pass through those gates? Wow. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. Might as well practice now, huh? Praising the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. What does it mean to be righteous? Well, it means that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord. You see, in our own righteousness, we can't earn heaven. But Scripture tells us when we repent of our sins and invite Jesus Christ into our hearts to be our Lord and Savior, that he robes us in his righteousness. And God the Father does not see us any longer in our sinful condition, but he sees us wrapped in the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. Through the blood of his Son, we're now made right. On our best day, Paul says, my righteousness is filthy rags. Oftentimes people say, well, you know, Christians are, you know, holier than thou, they often say to us. We're not holier than thou. As a matter of fact, the closer I draw to the Lord, the yuckier I feel. I wish I could be holier than thou. It's like, man. And it's funny how unbelievers use the old King James. Well, you think you're holier than thou? And old King James, huh? But it's not my holiness. It's not your holiness. Not my righteousness. Not your righteousness. It's his righteousness that he imparts to us. That's what grace is all about. That's what mercy is all about. His forgiveness. He gives it to us. Notice, this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Again, David mentions a second time his salvation. He's thankful, he's grateful for the salvation of the Lord. Even in Jesus' name, the original language in Hebrew, Yeshua, means Jehovah is salvation. And just the name of Jesus Christ even proclaims who he is and why he came. There's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. And you have become my salvation. Jehovah Shua is the word I was looking for. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Isn't that amazing? He is the chief cornerstone of the body of Christ. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in his eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's another reason that we can give thanks. Because every day when we wake up and we put 2 feet on the floor, I'm so grateful now I say, good morning, Lord. Instead of good Lord, it's morning. And it's so nice to be able to wake up and know that God has given us a brand new day. Brand new day, never been lived before. And it's so wonderful that we can give thanks. This is the day that the Lord has made. He's ordained it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Isn't that wonderful? Tomorrow, Lord willing, we have a brand new day. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. I numbered that as number 17. I've got like 20 points here of why David is giving thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is the Lord. And why? Because he has given us light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who puts his faith in me and his trust in me shall no longer walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Meaning that before we came to know Jesus Christ, we were walking in darkness. And now when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, the light goes on. And all of a sudden, even his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are no longer children of darkness, John says, but we now have the light of life. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us that light? And that's another reason that we can give thanks tonight, that he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. That's the 18th reason that David can praise the Lord, because he can say personally, you are my God. You know, when we make reference to the Lord God, we don't say someone else's God or a God. He is our God. We have a personal relationship with him now through his Son, Jesus Christ. God is the Lord. He has given us light. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And again, that's another wonderful thing we did tonight. We exalted the name of the Lord. We lifted him up here tonight. Every praise and every thankful thing that was said here tonight was to the Lord. It was all of us, again, giving a bouquet to the Lord for his goodness, for his grace, his mercy, and his love. That's why we're here tonight, to exalt him. Two last things, verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Right back where we started, up in the first verse. David starts with the Lord being good. He ends with the Lord being good. And he's got all these wonderful reasons to be thankful in between. And I would hope tonight that the one thing that we could draw from this meeting that we had here tonight is the goodness of the Lord. Isn't he good? He's good. He's the best. Words can't describe the Lord. He is so good. For his mercy endures how long?
Forever.
As long as we're good?
Forever.
As long as we behave?
Forever.
Forever. Yeah. Past the horizon? Forever and ever and ever and ever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. Aren't you glad you're not out there with the Black Friday people, with your tent and your sleeping bag and all? Man, God is so good. We have a lot to be thankful for, each and every one of us. I didn't think we'd go till 8:30 tonight, but it's 8:37, so. And I was so grateful that we had a chance to give thanks to the Lord individually tonight. And let's close in prayer. And I would pray that you would have just the best Thanksgiving ever with your family, your loved ones, your in-laws, and your outlaws. And that it would just be an awesome time to share with them why you're thankful so that they could be thankful as well one day. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's never given their life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're like I was 33 years ago, wondering, what's this all about? Is this joining a church? Is this joining some religion? There's so many religions out there. You know, which one is real? Well, I'll be real with you tonight. God didn't send Jesus into this world for a religion. He sent Jesus into this world to have a relationship. He sent Jesus into this world to pay the price that we could never pay, the price of our sins, because we can't be good enough to pay the price of our own sins. God had to send a Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So now the ball is in your court. Whosoever would believe in him, that he came into this world to die for our sins, will not perish but have everlasting life. But you see, God has given us all a free will. Whether we will receive him or whether we won't receive him, it's up to you. There's no pressure. But just there's this still small voice called the person of the Holy Spirit that bids us, that woos us to come to him. And if the Lord is bidding you to come tonight and wooing you to come and speaking to your heart, don't push him away. He loves you. Let today be that day of salvation. Let today be that day when you can truly say, I give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And if there's anyone here that would like to receive Christ, just slip your hand up quickly. And I just want to pray a simple prayer with you to receive the greatest gift of all. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? All right. Elizabeth, I know you gave your life to Christ once, right? So you just want to rededicate your life? Okay. Would you stand with me, please? All right. All right. I love what the father of the lost son said. This is my son who was once lost but now is found. And I believe the Lord is saying, this is my daughter who was once lost but now is found, as you're returning to your Heavenly Father here tonight. So just pray this prayer with me, would you please? Dear Lord Jesus, I recommit my life to you. Please forgive me for all of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Purify my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And the angels in heaven rejoice. Okay. Do you have a closing song, or you just want to, where's the worship group here tonight? Do you have a closing song, or you want to just head out, or?
No.
Okay. Okay. Again, thanks for coming tonight. One closing song. And if you want to join us over for some frozen yogurt at the Golden Spoon, I'll be over there. I'll buy you a frozen yogurt if you want tonight, so.